Let's open the Word of God together tonight, and thank you for coming. And we pray that the Lord will bless us night after night. Now, I trust that you come back again tomorrow night. I remember it used to be that away back in the old days, you say, of your great memory, in the old days, you used to say that Monday night was the washing night, and so therefore a lot of people couldn't come out, ladies couldn't come out, because it was washing night. Now, let me tell you, there's these machines now, they just put it in, and they nearly spew them out at the end of it all. They're that good that they have, and so therefore there's no work to be done. So therefore, come tomorrow night, encourage others to come, and tell others about the meeting. You know, the meetings will quickly pass out into God's eternity. And you know, there's no use weeping over souls, the souls of your loved ones, whenever they're gone. Now's the time. Now's the time to take the opportunity. Now's the time to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, this book has got good news for those who are dead in trespasses and sin. For thank God, there's a mighty, wonderful Savior, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're opening the Bible in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And of course, that's the only book you need to bring. Bring your Bible. You'll get a hymn book, but the Bible, you bring your Bible along with you. And I love people to bring their Bibles with them and open the Scriptures and follow the Scriptures, even as we come to the ministry of God's precious and God's holy Word. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, we'll commence reading at the verse number 9. Let's follow the reading of God's Word. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up unto a temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And we'll end our reading there, and we know that God will bless his word to our hearts. Just let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer together, please. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is truth. And Lord, we live in a world of fake news and lies and deception, but we bless Thee that Thy Word is truth and forever settled in heaven. And we come to Thy Word. We bless Thee that we can be sure that we have the infallible, inspired Word of the living God. And so I pray to this end, O God, that You'll bless us as we open the Scriptures tonight and meditate upon it, and we pray that You'll speak to all of our hearts. And ere this meeting draws to a close, O God, if there be one, and they know not the Savior, Lord, may this night that Thou wilt save them. And if there be one that is cold in heart or backslidden in heart, O God, that Thou wilt bring them back to their first love. Bless Thy people, encourage them, help them to go out this week after souls, to bring them from the highways and byways, and to compel people to come in to Thy house. O God, fill the seats, we pray. And Lord, bring souls unto Thyself, for salvation belongeth unto Thee. We pray in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake, amen and amen. I want you to keep your Bibles open in this 18th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel. Dr. R.A. Torrey was a famous American preacher, and he preached on this subject. On this chapter 18 of the two men that's mentioned, it says in verse 10, two men. And so therefore he preached on the deluded Pharisee and the delivered publican. He labeled it the story of a good man lost and a bad man saved. And friend, that's the true story here of this passage of God's Word. I think that title is certainly striking. I think it's very fitting to the story that the Lord Jesus Christ told, or this parable that he brought. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was on his last journey. He's making his way to Jerusalem, and there at Jerusalem, the Savior will lay down his life's blood. He will shed his blood for the redemption of sinners. And as the Lord Jesus Christ enters into a certain village That's what it says in chapter 17, verse number 12. And as he entered into a certain village. And so we find the Lord Jesus enters into a certain village. And through parables, the Lord Jesus Christ addressed the questions and the demands that the people were making upon him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke in parables. And we find in chapter 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, the story that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the parable he told, it had a specific reference to the need of those that were listening. Now, of course, whenever we come to this, the parable, it says, if you go there to verse number 9, he spake this parable unto certain. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking another parable about two men. But I want you to notice we're not left to our imagination, to the people that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. Because in actual fact, the Bible here identifies the reason why the Savior was speaking the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. Look at verse number 9. It says, and Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, I want you to notice there were two classes of people that the Lord Jesus was addressing this. There was a twofold message that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking through this parable. First of all, it says he was speaking to those who trusted in themselves. In other words, he was rebuking those that were self-righteous. In other words, they believed that they would trust or could trust in themselves and in their good works to get to heaven. And let me tell you, my friend, this land of Ulster is filled with people like that. How many men and women in Newton Ards, let me tell you, will not come through a church door, and they have no time. In actual fact, you'll see these wee notices up on their door. They don't want anyone to knock them. They don't want anybody to put a track through them. They don't want anything to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're trusting in themselves. They think that they're all right. What do they need church for? What do they need preachers for? What do they need God for? Because they're trusting in themselves. And the Lord Jesus was speaking to certain people that were trusting in themselves, that they were righteous. In other words, that they were good enough. And they didn't need God's salvation. Might have been insulted if you asked them, are you saved? Because they don't believe and don't need the salvation. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you something about our Savior. Whenever you follow through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that he was a very simple preacher because he spoke in parables. He spoke earthly stories which had that spiritual meaning. And in actual fact, when he spoke about the parable of the sowing of the seed, the people could understand what he was talking about. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the person who built his house upon a rock and the man that built his house upon the sand, the people could understand what he was talking about. Because they knew how foolish a man would be to build his house upon the sand. Because when the storms would come, what foolish thing to think that the house was going to stand. Let me tell you, the Lord was a very simple preacher. He preached right to the hearts of those that were gathered. He didn't preach above their heads. I remember a boy telling me one time, he says, you see that new minister we have in our church, Mr. McCrae? He says, maybe you don't like him, but I'll tell you this. I want to tell you, he's a powerful speaker. In actual fact, he's the most powerful man, an eloquent man that I've ever heard. You hear the big words that he says to tell you, I don't understand the word he says, but I can tell you, he speaks with great authority. Now let me tell you, my friend, there are preachers and they talk over the heads of the congregation. They go out and say, I don't know what that boy's talking about because I haven't a clue. The Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, was a very simple preacher. He spoke to the hearts of those. And when he talked about the sheep, and he talked about the coin, and he talked about the sun, and he talked about the mustard seed, and he talked about the vineyard, and he talked about the virgins, the people knew what he was talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ was a serious preacher. Because the Lord Jesus talked about eternal issues, the things that really counted, friend, about the souls of men and women, because the Savior challenged men and women in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? People today are craving for more of this world, and they're digging down deeper and deeper and deeper into this world as if they never had a go. Let me tell you, my friend, when all your digging's done into this world, remember this. Whenever the last spade is dug, you'll not dig it. It'll be dug for you. You just remember that. It'll be dug for you. Somebody will dig the grave for you. And that, I'll tell you, when you're put down in the grave, you'll not have anything to do with the digging. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said, what would it profit a man, even if he's gained the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give? What is it worth, my friend, even if you were to gain the world? And you never will. But even if you were to gain the whole world, why? Because you got to leave it. Lose your own soul. Your eternal soul. The Lord Jesus Christ was not only a simple preacher, he was a serious preacher. Tell you something, he was a straight-talking preacher. Didn't really beat around the bush. He called, as I said, a spade, not a garden implement. Let me tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the... He said, except you repent. Except you repent, you'll perish. That was straight enough, wasn't it? Straight enough. The Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, there were no frills. He turned and he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He put the curse of God upon those that rejected his word and rejected his ways. Let me tell you, here were people, let me tell you, the Lord was speaking straight to them. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Yes, he was talking to them. And I say this tonight, I haven't come to Newton Ards and traveled up that road the whole way to play around and play the fool. Well, men and women, I'm come to preach straight. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God, I pray from the depths of my soul that the Spirit of God will take the challenge of the Word of God and drive it into the depths of your heart. And let me tell you, of myself, I couldn't even create an anxious thought. You needn't be worrying about me. And nobody and nothing, but I'll tell you this, a child of the King. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by the foolishness of preaching, God can take of that Word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what happens. When the Spirit of God grips a man, he feels as if there's nobody else in the meeting but himself. That man's talking about to me. He's preaching to me. Let me tell you, I don't know you, friend. Vast majority in this place, I don't know. And therefore, nobody has told me anything about you. But I tell you, God knows all about you. God knows all about you. And the Lord Jesus Christ saw a people there that day, and the Lord knew there were those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Listen, my friend, they believed that God owed them heaven because they were good enough. And I'll tell you this, God owes you nothing. And God owed me nothing. If God gave me what I deserved, he'd send me to hell. But thank God he didn't do that. Thank God he saved my soul. But I owe it all to him. All the glory and all the praise of my salvation from beginning to end, friend, I'll tell you this, salvation is of the Lord. Let man take his hand of it. Because anything man puts his hand to, sure, he'll only make a mess of it anyhow. Salvation. Old Nicholson, I think, was said, man couldn't save a Tom Titton, never mind save a soul. My friend, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the reason. He said, listen, there were those certain who trusted themselves that they were righteous. And then there was another reason. He said, not only did they trust in themselves, but it says, verse 9, they despised others. And the Lord was talking to those who despised others. In other words, these self-righteous people, they scorned others. They considered or they treated others as nothing. Let's be quite honest, friend. If the down and out of Newton Arch Street was to come into this meeting and sit down in this service, there'd be some people turn their nose up, probably, because it would happen to Macravel. You say, look at that smelly, dirty creature coming in here. Could he not clean? Let me tell you, friend. You know what that book tells me? God gathers the castaways. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us, my friend, when we were lovely and clean and presentable and all the rest of it. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. He says, I come to call sinners to repentance. And so we find here there were those that looked down the nose. In other words, they cast aside others into another class. They elevated themselves by pushing others down. And sometimes, let me tell you, my friend, we have to be careful. If you're saved tonight, I'm telling you this lovingly and carefully. Don't you ever look down your nose at the sinner, because remember, that's where God found you. That's where God found you, for that's where God found me. God found us in our sin. And when God found us, let me tell you, there was nothing lovely in us. And if we thought we were, the Bible says the heart of man's deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? You couldn't imagine it. You couldn't imagine the deceitfulness and the rottenness of your heart before God. But God, hallelujah, but God, but God. And here we find the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to people. And you know, they despise the poor sinner. The poor down and out, the poor man in the gutter. They're down their nose. You know, there's two classes of people, let me tell you. There are those who think they're too good to be saved. And then there are those who think they're too bad to be saved. And friend, let me tell you, both are wrong.
You get that? The man who thinks he's too good to be saved, he's wrong. And the man who thinks he's too bad to be saved, he's wrong too, because thank God, there's no such thing. We're all bad in our sin. But thank God, God reached us by his saving and by his matchless grace. And so therefore, I want you to come very quickly with this story that the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's a parable, and he says, look at verse number 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Could be the same two men came to Grace Free Presbyterian Church. Two men come into the temple to pray. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he identifies and he talks about these two men. And friend, let me tell you, there's religion here. And then there's rejection here. But thank God there's redemption here in this story. Two men. Now let us look carefully, because the Lord Jesus Christ divided these two men. Notice first of all, verse 11, the Pharisee. And then verse 13, and the publican. So we know who they are now. Now notice it says the publican. It didn't say, and doesn't mean a person that stands in the bar and pulls the drink. And he didn't say a republican. He said a publican. And we'll come to him in a minute. But I want us to look carefully at both these men, friend, because let me tell you, this congregation could have two men like that here. First of all, we have the Pharisee. Now, one could say something about this Pharisee, that there were things that could be good characteristics about him, in other words. For example, it says he came to the temple to pray. Now, so did the publican, but at least he came to pray. In other words, he wasn't a person that didn't believe that there was a God. He had a knowledge that there was a God. And neither does it show in this passage of God's word that he was only praying when his back was against the wall. Some people do that. When their back's against the wall, friend, listen, they live their life as life is rosy and everything's rosy in the garden. The sweet perfume of the roses there are pervading the air. And they live their life and there's no need of God and no thought of God. But you see the day the sickness comes, or you see the day the trouble comes, or sorrow comes. They come along to the man of God and say, Mr. Johnson, would you pray for me? Would you pray for my family? Or would you pray for my loved one? They're sick. In other words, friend, when their back's against the wall, there's nowhere else to go. Maybe they tried everybody else before that, and there's nobody can help them, and then there's nowhere else to go. And so therefore, would you pray for me? Now that man's not like that. Bible doesn't indicate that this man has his back against the wall, and somehow that there's nowhere else to, for him to go, because he comes to the temple to pray. But I want you to notice something about him, because the Lord Jesus Christ tells us certain things about this man. First of all, the word of God says, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And the first thing I want you to notice about him, he prayed, or he stood by himself. Now, it was a common Jewish posture in praying to stand. He was standing in a place where he could be seen, where he could be noted. He was standing there where he was prominent, and so that his prayers could be heard. People could hear him praying. Now, the Lord knew all about such types of people, because the Lord said, if you just keep your hand there, turn back to the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. And you notice over and over again, the Lord Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. The Lord Jesus Christ said, verse number 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. So here's a man and he stands by himself, friend. Let me tell you, he stands in a prominent position to be sure that people see him. He wants to be seen. He wants to be in the limelight. You know, the Pharisees also give attention to the smallest points of the law whilst neglecting its true command. Here's a man, because of his pride and because of his feeling of superior piety, he stands by himself and he's praying. Probably he felt that others were unworthy to come near him. So that's why he stood by himself. And I see him going up into the temple, friend, and I see him clad with his flowing robes and his broadly fringed robes, with the two small leathern boxes containing the portions of the law fastened there, one to the forehead and the other to his arm. And there he's standing. The Bible says he stood by himself. But then I want you to notice, he not only stood by himself, but it tells me that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You got that? He not only stood by himself because he felt that nobody else was as good as him, and nobody else was could stand near him. He was different than the others that were coming to pray. And he was there standing to be seen, and they could hear him standing praying. But the Holy Ghost knew all about him. And it says he prayed with himself. And to be honest, that was an accurate description of him. This wasn't praying, friend. This wasn't real praying. He was talking aloud to himself to be heard of men. Formality. Rituals. And let's be honest. There's many people in Newton Ards this day have gone to church, and they've gone through the rituals. They've gone to church, but friend, let me tell you, it's not a meeting with God, but they've gone through a formality. They always did that. They were told by their child, from their childhood days. That's what you do on the Sunday morning. You go to church. When I was being reared, that's what you did. We were sent to Sunday school. Let me tell you, you were sent to Sunday school, and after 5 years attending without missing one Sunday, in our church where I was brought up in, you got a little silver-coated medal. Now, it wasn't silver, it just looked like it. And you got that for 5 years without missing one Sunday. Now, you missed a Sunday, you're in trouble. But if you attended 5 years, and we were sent religiously Sunday after Sunday to that church, friend, the sad reality was this. The preacher never once told us we needed to be saved. But then you attended on because your parents told you that's what you did. And then in 10 years attending church without missing a Sunday, you got a gold-plated medal. Now, there were five of us in our family, friend, and the five of us got the silver-plated medal, and we got the gold-plated medal 10 years without missing one Sunday. In actual fact, I missed one Sunday. I was in hospital getting my tonsils out. You know what they did? They took a year off me. I had to do 11 years to get. I did. That's the truth. But I didn't mind. That's what you did. But, friend, after all those years, did that make you a Christian? Because you go into church, does that make you automatically a Christian? Listen, if you go into a garage, does that make you a motor car? And yet people think, because they attend church on Sunday, that that's how he makes them a Christian. But that's the devil's delusion, friend. You're a Christian when you come by faith to Jesus Christ and receive him and acknowledge him as your Savior and as your Lord. When you receive him as your Lord and your Savior. But here's a man, and he prayed with himself. Notice, if you look at his prayer, you know, God got one mention. What was it? And he prayed thus with himself, God. That was it. Over. That's the only time God came into his prayer, because he was praying with himself. He says, God, I thank you. I'm not as other men are. I'm not like them. And friend, the tragedy was this. Here was a man, and he went to the temple to pray, and yet God was not in it. And I tell you, the tragedy is this, that there are many men and women, and they're going to hell from a church pew, because that's all they've got. They've got religion. And I say this solemnly before God, friend. If I had not by faith received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, even with 10 years without missing a Sunday, it would have never taken me through the pearly gates of heaven. You see, Jesus says, I'm the way. And friend, he's the only way. And remember, you can get to heaven without riches. I've said it 1,000 times. You can get to heaven without family. And you can get to heaven without fame. But I'll tell you this, you never get to heaven without Jesus. He's the only way. He's not a way. He's the only way. Jesus says, I am the way. John 14:6. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, he prayed by himself. It says he prayed with himself. But notice the third thing about his prayer. He prayed about himself. Notice prayer. He says, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know what the prayer was about? I. All about himself. He prayed about himself. Notice, there was a real obsession with himself. I thank thee that I'm not as others. I fast and I tithe. Yes, of all the things that I possess. I'm not unjust. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. Friend, I don't know if those are true or not. But that's what he said about himself. And his whole prayer was about me. I. You know, the Lord Jesus told another story one day. He told about the story of the rich man that God had blessed with plenty. And he had a problem because he had nowhere to put his goods and all the possessions that God had given him. All the bounty of God's blessing upon him. And so he had a problem, and he thought, what am I going to do? And then he said this within himself. He talked to himself. And he says, I'm going to pull down my barns, and I'm going to build greater. And I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It was all about himself. You know what God said? It says, God looked down and God says,
You're a fool. That's all you are. You're a fool. Because God says this night, your soul's been required of you.
He promised himself much goods. He promised himself many years. He promised himself he'd drink, be merry.
Many years, and God says, tonight, tonight. Let me tell you, friend, he hadn't many years, he hadn't 1 year, he hadn't 1 day. God says, tonight.
And I tell you this, I don't know what your plans for the future are, or for this week, but I want to warn you something, friend. Let me tell you,
one word from God, and God put the pen through all of your plans.
I visited a wee home. I was at the open air yesterday, brother, as you said. My way home, I visited a family of a person I've known, not a member of the congregation, but I've known this family. And on Friday evening, friend, the mother of that home went out tragically into God's eternity. And I sat in that hallway with a father with a little 3-year-old child in his lap. And he's a 5-year-old daughter. And he's a 12-year-old son, 3 children. He said to me, William, in a moment my life was changed forever. I'm going to tell you, God can put the pen through your plans. So don't you take God on or think you're big enough for God, friend, because I can tell you there's not one of us that are big enough for him. You just remember, if God wills it, if God wills it, if God wills it, I'll be here tomorrow night to preach the word. And if God doesn't will it, I'm not. Because I'll tell you, friend, you'll find out he's boss. You'll find out he's God. He's Lord of all. He's in control of it all. And I see big men in this world, let me tell you. And there they're standing on the stage of time, friend. And as if they're going round the chessboard or the draughts board. And they're taking their moves and all the rest of it. And they're in control of it all. And my, the world's standing in amazement. I wonder what he's going to do next. I wonder what Trump's going to do about North Korea and all the rest of it. I tell you, with all the power, the President of the United States is not in control. God is. God is. And friend, he's the God we all have to meet. Me as well as you. That's why Amos the prophet cried out, prepare to meet thy God. And here's a man and there's nothing of God in it. The only time God got a mention was, God, I thank you. I'm not like him. And I'm not like them. Notice, friend, in that prayer, there's absolutely no sense of his sin. No sense of any sin. No, he wasn't a sinner. I'm not a sinner. Others are. I'm not like them. I'm not like him. You notice there's no sense of failure here. He talks about the laws that he has kept and even gone beyond in a strict Pharisaical way. Notice there's no sense of need. Isn't that interesting? You look at that prayer, friend, and he never asked God for anything. Notice that. Never asked God, friend. You know why? Because he felt he didn't need. He was the answer to his need. He didn't need anything. Why would he call on God? All he did was he came to the temple and he stood there by himself and he talked to himself and about himself, friend. And he stood there and he bragged about himself. And he was, as far as his standards were concerned, he didn't need anything from God. But friend, I want to tell you something. He was wrong. Notice what he said. He said, God, I thank you. I'm not as other men are, friend. That's a lie. His prayer was a lie. Because he's a sinner the same as everybody else. Just the same. Note God says, all have sinned. Not some. Not the down and out. Not the beggar in the street, my friend. Not the murderer, the gambler, the whoremonger, or the adulterer simply. No, no. The word of God says, all have sinned. Maybe some people go deeper into sin than others. But I'll tell you, as far as God is concerned, all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Not some, all. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And here's that poor Pharisee, friend, and he couldn't see. He was lost. But the publican, very quickly look at verse 13. As we finish. And the publican standing afar off. Notice that. He stood afar off. Why did he stand afar off, friend? Because that's, he knew exactly that that was his position before God. He was far from God. He was far from God. He was acknowledging honestly his sin. Have wandered far away from God. Here's a man and he stands afar off. Why? Because he's conscious of his sinfulness. And I'll tell you this, friend. You'll never be saved or ever get to heaven until you take the first step to acknowledge you're a sinner. Because if you don't see you're a sinner, you'll never see your need of a Savior. Jesus says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. You see, sinners need a Savior.
They need thee, Savior. And the Bible says this poor publican, he was one of the tax collectors. Matthew was one, tax collector. Zacchaeus was one, tax collector. So is this one. He's the unnamed one. And he stands afar off. And notice this quickly. He says he would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. See, that's what they used to do when they were standing praying. They would look up to heaven. But friend, let me tell you, this man didn't look up to heaven. He bowed his head. You know why? He not only sensed his sin, he sensed his total unworthiness of anything from God. God, I don't deserve to see your face. I don't deserve your pardon. I don't deserve your forgiveness. And he was conscious of his guilt. And as Barnes, the commentator, says, men conscious of guilt always fix their eyes to the ground. Ah, there was nothing to boast in. I'm only a sinner. And then notice something else. He smote his breast, his agony of heart. The Bible says a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. Let me ask you tonight. If you know you're a sinner, tell me, does that break your heart? You're away from God. Does that break your heart? Or are you so hard-hearted and so rebellious and stubborn in your sin that it doesn't bother you? Here's a man and all he knew, all he had was the filthy rags of a sin. And he smote his breast. And then notice what he said, verse 13. He says, God be merciful to me, the sinner. You notice the difference between the two prayers? The Pharisee, he proclaimed his merit. I'm not as other men are. I'm not even like that old publican over there. I'm not a sinner. Self-righteous. Thought he was good enough. God owed him heaven. And he went to hell. But the publican knew he was a sinner. And he bowed his head and he smote his breast. And I can see the tears dropping from his eyes. And he cried, God, I've no merits to plead, but need your mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In actual fact, in the original, it says, the sinner. I'm only a sinner. And thank God, my friend, that man received salvation. What did the Lord Jesus Christ in a summary say in verse number 14? I tell you, says Jesus, I want you to know this. This man, what man? The poor old publican. The poor old rotten sinner that threw himself on the mercy of God. This man went down to his house just as if he never had sinned. He went down forgiven, pardoned, cleansed. As we sang in our opening hymn, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen, friend, the Pharisee may not have been an extortioner. The Pharisee may not have been unjust. The Pharisee may not have been an adulterer, but he was lost. But thank God the publican could say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Tell me, do you realize you're a sinner? Do you realize you need the Savior, friend? Do you realize that God has provided the answer for your sin? In the cross work, the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, where he shed his precious blood, for God so loved the world of sinners, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever you are, whosoever believeth in him, not in the church, not in the preacher, not in the sacraments, not in your rituals, not in your church membership, whosoever believeth in him, in Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Go home without Jesus, dear sinner, and die without Jesus, and you'll go to hell. But thank God if you come as a sinner to Jesus and do as the publican did, cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You'll go home forgiven, redeemed, pardoned, saved forever. What a Savior. But here's my question on the through. Be honest, friend. Is he your Savior? You might know all about him. You may have all the head knowledge about the Savior. You could answer all the questions in the catechism and all the questions that anyone could throw you if you're about the scriptures. But if you haven't a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're lost. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Friends, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I trust indeed that God will give you honesty of heart, that you'll be honest before God, that you might understand your standing before him. As God looks in your heart tonight, what does God see?
As God looks on your life, what does God see, friend? Somebody trusting in their own righteousness and their good works. You think it's good enough, and you're not saved. Oh, to be without a Savior. With no hope or refuge nigh, how I wonder, blessed Savior, one without thee would dare to die. I'm here as God's servant, so is our brother, Mr. Johnson. Friend, if you'd like to come to Christ, if you say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart and the Spirit of God is drawing me to himself, let me tell you, friend, we'd love to open the scriptures with you. I'm not going to race away. I'd gladly open the scriptures and show you from God's word how you can be saved and know you're saved and be sure you're saved and ready for heaven. May God save you tonight. Somebody's with you that's a child of God, ask them to come with you. Friend, let me tell you, don't rush away from God's house. Get right with God. Now's the accepted time. Don't leave it to tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May God save you tonight. Lord, sever us with thy blessing. Write thy word upon our hearts. Oh, blessed Spirit of God, call sinners to the Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friend, I'm here as God's servant. And our brothers here as the pastor of this flock would gladly open this book and show you from this book how you can really, really know that you're bound for heaven. Don't miss that assurance. Don't miss Jesus. May God save you.